Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl. It's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl. Happy Friday. It's Jen. Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts. Like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
This is segment 2 in today's trial of Adam Montgomery on firearms charges. He's accused of also killing his 5-year-old daughter. Will be tried in an upcoming trial very soon. Let's go to the courtroom.
Okay, Kayla, can you please state and spell your first and last name for the jury?
My name's Kayla Montgomery. I'm KaylaMontgomery.
Okay, and how old are you, Kayla?
32.
Where do you currently reside?
The state prison for women.
And how long have you lived there?
Since November 2022.
Why do you live in the women's prison?
Perjury charges.
Were you convicted of those charges?
Yes.
And sentenced for those charges?
Yes.
Were you also charged with receiving stolen property?
Yes.
And those charges were dismissed as part of a...
Yes.
Were those charges dismissed as part of a plea agreement?
Yes.
And you admitted to lying to the grand jury?
Yes.
Did you admit to, apologies. Did you admit to lying to the grand jury?
Yes.
Do you understand the consequences of providing false testimony here today?
Yes.
How are you doing today, Kayla?
I'm okay.
Is it difficult for you to be here?
Yes.
Why is that?
It's a lot.
And so, Kayla, there's a microphone right in front of you. It looks like a stick coming out from beside the computer screen there. If you can just sit a little bit closer to that, it's a little difficult for me to hear you. And I want to make sure that all of these jurors hear what you're saying. So you said it's a lot?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know someone named Adam Montgomery?
Yeah.
And how do you know him?
He's my husband.
You said he's your husband?
Yeah.
How long have you two been married?
6. It'll be 6 years.
Do you remember the date you got married?
Yeah, it was June 7th, 2017.
How long have you known Adam Montgomery?
Since we were in high school.
Are you currently in legal proceedings related to your marriage?
Yes.
Did you file for divorce?
Yes, I did.
Did you leave the defendant at some point in time?
Yes.
Do you know if after you left him, he started a relationship with another individual?
Yes, he did.
Do you know that person's name?
Kelsey Small.
Did you ever meet Kelsey Small?
Yes.
Do you have any children with the defendant?
Yes, I do. I have 3.
3 children. What are their names?
Seamus, Declan, and Kira.
So you talked about where you were, where you're currently living at the women's prison.
Yeah.
Where did you live back in October of 2019?
I was living at 77 Guilford Street in Manchester, New Hampshire.
How long did you live there?
For about a year and a half.
For a year and a half? Why did you stop living there?
Because we got kicked out of the house.
Was that an eviction?
Yes.
Do you remember what month of and what year that was?
November 2019.
When you lived at the 77 Guilford Street address, who did you live with there?
It was myself, Adam, Seamus, Declan, and Harmony.
Do you think you'd recognize that address if you saw it today?
Yes.
Yes, you may.
And so, Kayla, I'm going to hand you what's been marked for identification as states exhibit 42A through J. And I'm just going to ask you to look at each of those. Okay, and so if you can go through them, starting with 42A, and it looks like they're, let me get them back in order really quick.
Okay. Cheers.
So starting with A and going to J, if you could just look at each of those images and identify them in turn.
The first, A is the driveway and the mailbox, and B is the outside of the house, of the front yard, and, this is in the basement ceiling.
I'm just going to ask you to please keep your voice up, because all the jurors need to be able to hear you. Thank you.
And if you could just note which letter you're on.
42C.
Okay, and what did you say 42C is?
That's the ceiling in the basement. And 42D is the ceiling in the attic, I believe. Yeah. And 42E is the attic, the storage room in the attic. And 42F is the room.
And whose
bedroom.
Room is F?
It was mine and Adam's and the two boys.
Okay, and G?
That's Harmony's room.
H?
Harmony's room. The kitchen is I. And the back porch is J, or the front. I don't know which one that is.
And
oh, that's the front.
It's the front?
Yeah.
So it's the front room?
Yeah, the living room.
And are those fair and accurate representations of the 77 Guilford Street address, as you remember it?
Yes.
And Judge, at this point, I need to strike the ID and mark this full.
Any objection? Yes.
So, Kayla, you said that those are fair and accurate representations of the Guilford Street address as you remember it.
Yes.
And so I was referring specifically to October 2019. Is that an accurate representation of the house back then?
Yes, without the furniture.
And without your things?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Judge, at this point, I'm going to describe the ID.
Any objection?
No, Your Honor.
The ID is stricken. Each of those are entered as full exhibits.
And so, Kayla, you're telling us about the front room, and I think you also mentioned the kitchen.
Yes.
Where are those in relation to each other?
They are, when you walk into the house, the living room is right in the front, and then you walk through, and there's the kitchen. But there's a wall that separates the kitchen and the living room, but there's still the walkway to walk through.
So you can walk through from one to another. I'm going to take those back from you. If you need more water, just let me know. So focusing back on that time period, September, October 2019, what was your life like back then?
I was working up until November 2019 at Dunkin' Donuts. I would work 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. And Adam would be home with the kids while I'm at work. And he would drop me off and pick me up from work because I didn't have a license. And then after he would pick me up, I would be at the house with the kids, and he would leave some nights because we were using drugs.
When you say we were using drugs, what do you mean?
Like getting high, using heroin and crack and weed.
And when you say we were getting high and using heroin and crack and weed, who's we?
Adam and I.
And what was your drug of choice?
It was both heroin and crack.
Are you sober now?
Yes.
What did it take for you to become sober?
Going to jail.
I asked you about your drug of choice back then. What was the defendant's?
Heroin.
And you mentioned working at Dunkin' Donuts up yes. until November of 2019?
Yes.
What did the defendant do for work back then?
He was home with the kids.
And he'd leave at night, you said?
Yeah, he would leave after I'd be home for a couple hours. And go for rides.
Okay. Do you know, back then, how did you get your drugs?
I had money from my job, and that's what I remember up until we got kicked out, evicted from the house.
And you mentioned Harmony, Declan, and Seamus. How did you support them?
We had food stamps and my income, which was barely anything at the time.
Was there anyone that you were close to back then in September, October 2019?
There was a few people that were in and out back then of my life, but I know one that was around a lot was Tabitha Scott.
And what about people from work? Were you close to anyone there?
Kimberly Frayne.
And you knew her from work?
Yes.
How long had you known Kimberly Frayne?
Since 2016, I believe.
And so back in October of 2019, how would you describe your relationship with her? You've called her a friend. Were the two of you close?
Yeah, we weren't as close as we used to be because I switched franchises, so I didn't see her that much. But started talking to her again because she was using drugs at the time and she had a car, and it was just another way to be able to get drugs.
Through Kimberly?
Yes.
Do you know where she lived back in September, October 2019?
I remember she lived on Russell Street in Manchester.
Had you been to her home on Russell Street?
Yes.
How many times would you say?
I don't know, probably about 4-5 times that I can remember.
And who did she live with back then in her home on Russell Street?
Her husband, Chris Frayne, and her daughter, their daughter.
And you just mentioned Chris Frayne. Did you know him as well?
Yeah.
How'd you know him?
Through Kim.
How would you describe your relationship with him?
It was, I don't know, we were all just friends. Like, he was just a really nice person.
And have you kept in contact with either Chris or Kim Frayne?
I was in contact with Chris back in January, the end of December, January, before I got arrested.
And Kayla, I want to turn your attention specifically to October of 2019 and the theft of firearms. Do you know what I'm referring to?
Yes.
What am I referring to?
The firearms got taken and stolen out of Chris Frayne and Kimberly Frayne's house.
What kind of firearms were stolen?
I have no idea what the names of them are. I just know they were big. I don't remember the names.
Let's back up. You said firearms. Was this more than one?
Yeah. Yes.
How many are we referring to?
Two that I remember.
Okay. And how would you describe them?
Like a rifle type. I don't know. They were just big. Rifle, shotgun. I don't know what the names of them are. I don't know what they're called.
So a rifle, shotgun?
Yeah.
Did you personally see these?
Yes.
I want to talk about the first time that you saw them. Can you tell us about that?
I know that there were people at the house that came so that we could buy drugs off them, and Adam was showing them to those couple of people that came by trying to sell them, and I remember I was taking care of the kids and I was looking to see what was going on in the living room from the kitchen, and it was just chaos in that house at that time, that same night.
Why is that? Why was it chaos?
It was just a lot of people going in and out, and taking care of the kids at the same time. I don't even know.
And I think you said that night. Are we talking about nighttime?
Yes.
So the incident that you're describing, were you already aware at that point that the guns had been stolen from the Frayne house?
Yes.
All right. And you said people had come to sell drugs?
Yeah.
Was that to you or to someone else?
To Adam, but I was going to be doing the drugs too.
Okay. So they came to sell drugs to Adam. You were going to do the drugs as well?
Yes.
And it sounded like you said he offered to sell them the firearms?
Yeah, to trade them or buy the firearms or trade them for drugs.
Okay. So he had them at that point and he was going to trade them or sell them for drugs?
Yes. Trade them for drugs or sell them for money.
At that point, did you know what he was wanting to get for them?
No, I had no idea, because I don't know. I never dealt with that before. I just let him deal with it, because I don't know.
And the individuals that you're referring to that came to the house, do you know their names?
I remember Mike I don't remember his last name. And I don't remember if the other two came that night, but there was always somebody with Mike all the time. And I just remember Ish and Manny. I don't know their last names.
Okay. So Mike, Ish, and Manny were there that night to sell Adam drugs?
I believe, yeah.
And I think you said he offered them the two guns?
Yeah.
And how long after you found out about the theft was this incident that you're describing?
It was within the couple of days, like the next night or something like that. It was around that time, same time.
You described it as chaos. How did Ish, Manny, and Mike react to this offer of the guns?
They were checking them out, and they were just checking them out, looking at them, and they were saying that they would think about it. But they also knew that the guns were missing from Chris and Kim's house, but they didn't know that those were those guns yet.
Okay. When did you first become, let me strike that question. At some point, did you become aware that the defendant had stolen Kim Frayne and Chris Frayne's firearms?
Yes.
And tell us about that.
I know Kim was freaking out because she noticed that they were missing, and she was trying to figure out where they went and who took them before Chris came back home, because he was on the road, truck driver or whatever he did. And so Kim called and asked if we knew anything or if anybody was in and out the house. And then the other people that I mentioned that she was involved with, she was asking everybody if they've seen them or taken them or anything like that. But and something, Kim's, I guess the night they got stolen, well, I know the night they got stolen, Chris, Kim left her door open to her house, and she was passed out.
And let me stop you there. Were you there that night the guns got stolen?
No.
But you said you know the night that they got stolen. How do you know that information?
Because Kim was freaking out, and when she called, she said that her door was open, and then Adam went to go check on her too. Adam was supposed to be going to meet her. And when he pulled up to the house, the door was open and she was passed out, and he woke her up.
Were you there for that?
No.
How do you know that?
Because he told me.
And when you say he told me?
Adam told me.
So he told you that he went to her house that night?
Well, I already knew he was supposed to be going there.
Okay. How did you know he was supposed to be going there?
Because he was supposed to meet her to do something with drugs. It had something to do with drugs, because that's the only time we really were seeing her.
Was that typical for the defendant back then to go to her house by himself?
Around that time, yeah. Because he was the one with the car license, and we weren't going to bring the kids out when it's nighttime and it's time for them to go to bed.
You described living on Guilford Street, and I think you said Kim lived on
Russell Street.
How far apart, or how long would it take to get from your house to Kim's house?
I don't know, maybe like 10 minutes. Could be less, a little less or a little more, but she lived all the way on, like, almost near Hooksett. She lived like the near the store that I met her working at, the South Beach Street store before Livingston Park.
It took about 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, and I want to back up just a bit. You said the defendant told you that he went to her house, but you already knew he was going to her house.
Yeah.
And he told you that her door was open?
Yes.
And then what else did he tell you about that interaction?
And he said that she was passed out and he was, he woke her up. And when she woke up, she was freaking out about the guns missing.
When did he tell you that story?
It was that same night.
When he got home?
Yes.
And can you describe for us him getting back home?
I'm sorry, what?
Can you walk us through him returning home that night?
I know I was waiting for him, and I was laying down with the kids, and I think I heard him come through the door, because I always heard him come through the door. And when he came through the door, I don't remember him having anything when he came through the door.
Did you see him come through the door?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think he was going in and out. And from what I remember, I don't remember seeing him bring anything in. I don't know where he put anything yet. Like, I don't know. I don't remember.
Did he have drugs with him that night?
Yes. I believe so.
And
I don't know, it's a fog, because I know we're just getting high a lot.
And you said you didn't know where he put them yet?
No.
And what are you referring to by them?
Because they were in the attic of the house.
Sorry, when you say they were in the attic, what are you referring to?
The guns.
Okay, and did you see the attic of the house in those photos that I showed
yes.
you?
Yes.
So you told us about this story the defendant told you about going to Kim Frayne's home, finding the door open, she's passed out, and then she started, I think you said, freaking out missing guns?
Yes.
Did he ever tell you a different story about that night?
No.
Did you confront him about the guns?
I just didn't know what to say. I was kind of upset about it, because that they're supposed to be our friends, but I don't know. It was just messed up, that whole situation.
And when you say they're supposed to be our friends?
Kim and Chris.
Why were you upset about it?
Because I didn't like the guns, first of all, and second of all, he just took them without even, like, and he could have given them back after they realized they were gone, but he didn't.
And you said he just took them. How do you know he took them?
Because he told me that he took them.
Okay, and so I want to stop you just then. So you told me the story he told you about going into the home, finding Kim passed out, waking her up, her freaking out.
Yeah.
It sounds like there was a subsequent conversation. So another conversation later when he told you that they were stolen. Is that right?
Yes.
Can you tell us about that conversation?
All he said was that Kim was passed out and he ended up taking the guns. That's like, there wasn't really a story with it.
And that upset you?
Yeah, because he took them from friends, and I didn't want the guns in the house.
Took them from friends?
Yeah.
Were you still working with Kim at that point?
No, we worked at separate stores.
Did you ever talk to her about the theft that night?
Not that night, no.
Not that night, but did she discuss cameras with you at some point?
Yes.
And can you tell us about that interaction?
She told me that she called the police department and put a stolen, like reported stolen items, and she said that she's gonna see whoever did it because there was cameras pointing. There was cameras. Her neighbors had cameras, and she said that she was getting the camera, like the camera footage or whatever, so that she could see who took them.
Did that concern you at all?
Yeah.
And you'd already seen the guns at that point?
Yes.
What did you do with that information?
I told Adam.
What was his response?
Honestly, I don't remember. I know he was a little worried, I remember that, but I honestly don't remember.
So you just described, previously you described an interaction a night or two, it sounds like it was the night after the theft, where Mike is there, Ish is there, and Manny's there?
Yes.
The defendant offered them the guns for sale or for trade?
Yes.
Drugs or money?
Yes.
Did you ever witness any other transactions like that with those guns?
Not that I remember. I know there was another transaction, but I don't remember how it went down, or I don't remember any of that, but I know there was.
Let me back up. The first transaction that you just described with Mike, Ish, and Manny, what were you doing during that?
I don't know. I was all around the house because the kids were awake and not in bed because they woke up from all the noise, which happened every time. And I was trying, I tried keeping them in the kitchen and was trying to get them to relax, but that wasn't happening. And it was just a lot going on at once. Like the guys being in the house, and then also people getting high in the house, those people. But then they would be there and then they'd be gone real quick. Like they'd come in and they'd leave.
Did the guns stay in the house that night?
Yes.
And I believe you said they were stored in the attic area?
Yes.
Were they stored in something?
I don't know.
Okay. Do you remember telling law enforcement that they were...
Basis?
Aiding in that proper foundation.
Rephrase the question, please.
Do you remember them being stored or wrapped in something?
Not that I remember.
Do you remember meeting with law enforcement?
Yes.
Do you remember a June 3rd proffer back in 2022?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember telling law enforcement at that point?
Approach?
That wraps up segment number two of today's coverage in the trial of Adam Montgomery. There's more to come. Stay with us.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.